everyone. Hello, and welcome to Soul Sister Radio. I am so happy to be here and excited for tonight's topic. As we're coming into summer, you know, it's beautiful weather, and the kids are getting out of school soon, and we're all kind of segueing into, you know, thinking about what are we doing, what's going on. So I'm so happy that you're here, and I'm here with my soul sister, Paula Hillick. And she is author and founder of the Think, Care, Share movement. So I want to say hello, Paula. How are you?
I'm good, Susan. How are you? Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us tonight. A beautiful Sunday night. We're recording this early because I have to travel for some work. So if you're joining us in an archive version, thanks for listening in.
Yeah, so that's a great point. So today we are recording on a different day. We're not live, so we aren't, you know, doing the live phone calls today. We're just chatting. And the conversation today is about, you know, transitioning into summer easily, like with ease and in consideration of everybody in your family. You know, every family is very different. There are tons of moving parts, because we're all different. Some have children, you know, getting out of school. We have moms and dads, and some families are working, or, you know, we have two parents working and maybe some don't. But something is affected, because it's an interesting concept to me, like how everybody, suddenly it's summer and there's this, what are we going to do? What are we doing? And the expectation of that it's just one big vacation. And it is. Like, it is vacation time. But for a lot of people and a lot of families, it's one of those times where, whoa, you know, there can be hardships or really rocky transitions. And I thought this would be, you know, a great conversation with Paula tonight because, you know, we're both moms. And whether you're a mom to a human being or a dog, you know, it doesn't matter. It's like something is happening here. So anyway, so Paula, how was your weekend? I want to start with that. And how was your, you know, weekend, and what is new with you?
You know, I always kind of have to almost look back on my calendar to remember what I did during the week. You know, as you know, I have a corporate job that allows me to live my passion through Think, Care, Share. It was a very busy week, really high volumes in the company that I work for. That puts a lot of stress on people. So I had a stressful week, you know, with my day job with the company that I work for. My little guy also turned 11 on Thursday, so we were out celebrating with him on Thursday night, and he typically has three different groups of friends that we throw parties for. So in the past, there have been his hockey buddies, or the hockey team does something. The neighborhood kids do something, and often I would invite his cousins into that. And then his school friends do something. So this weekend we had his neighborhood friends, eight little boys sleeping over on Friday night, and then school friends on Saturday, five little boys sleeping over. And again, it's, you know, they were outside, they were inside, they were playing hide and seek in the house, they were playing on their iPads, they were on their Xbox, you know, it was cookies and chips and ice cream. And, you know, I always say when you have a group of little boys around, it's all sword fights and fart jokes. And it's interesting. It was fun to have them. I'm the oldest of seven kids. I grew up in a noisy house, and it was kind of nice just having that chatter and banter and noise in the house as we were going about our business, my husband and I. So it was a really busy weekend, a really fun weekend. And, you know, we feel really fortunate that we can do that for Dylan and that he has these childhood experiences. Yeah, we feel really grateful for that. That's it.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, happy birthday to Dylan. He's 11.
11.
Yay. Oh, that's awesome.
Go ahead, Susan.
Oh, I was just going to say, just from what you said, it's like I understand it's there's a lot going on here. And, you know, you have all these kids, and like you were saying, like, okay, there was cake and very busy. And, you know, this is I love that you're here in this conversation because you really are representing, the mom who is really holding it all together in a lot of ways, but not that we all aren't, but my two girls are grown. You know, I have two grown girls, so mine are 24 and 19, so they're pretty much, you know, one's out of college, one's in college, and grown. You know, so I'm sort of out of the, you know, summer, you know, wrangling in and what are we going to do and keeping them occupied and happy and da-da-da. But I love that you are, I don't know, to me you're like the perfect example, or not perfect, a great example of a mom and a woman, you know, who I really respect and I look up to in a lot of ways, who is like dealing with it. And I don't mean dealing with it as in a negative, as in this is life. This is like a beautiful, you're bringing up a beautiful boy, you have an awesome household, you know, in family, and I would just love to hear more on, you know, what, like, what are you guys thinking of this summer or the last day of school? I don't know.
Well, we will. I definitely love to share with you and get into that and talk about it as it's this week's topic for the show. But before we do, did you want to pull a card?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Were you going to do one?
So, all right, so let me see. So I want to pull a card for, you know, this is, I do love to do this, and it is for the collective audience of anybody listening right now or in the archives. And I want to pull a card for, this is really focusing on, like, summer and intention and just looking forward. So, highest team. Archangels. Highest team. Ascended Masters are here. Okay, so I'm going to pull a card right now. Okay. Oh, I like this one. Okay. Here it is. So, I will read it right now. It says, your soul knows best. Be still and observe. This card comes to you to warn you that too much force behind a desire for a specific outcome robs you of a true and full experience. Step back, take your energy away from your situation, and focus on gratitude for the ever-changing conditions of life. Are you perhaps trying to control the outcome of something because you don't trust in your highest good? Meditate, be still, and your answer will come without any effort on your part. Be a neutral observer, and you'll see how this moment is but a small marker on the map of your life's journey. So, that's, of course, I always say this, but that is so good for today's show, because, you know, this is really asking us to, you know, what's our desire for a specific outcome, or are we putting too much pressure or expectation so it robs us from a true experience? Step back, you know, take your energy away from the situation and focus on gratitude. So I thought that was a great card for today's show.
What's the name of that card, Susan?
Oh, it was called The Wizard of Awareness.
Love it.
And I love it. And, you know, awareness, like as you and I have talked about a lot, is like awareness is really the key. And, you know, being aware of everything and everybody and in your life. And, you know, aside from me getting up every day and going on with my day, there are other people to consider all the time. So being aware of that is, okay, so what I do or what someone else does, you know, affects the entire, you know, family and the, you know, the experience of the family, the entire summer experience. So specifically, So, do you agree? Yeah. Does that sound right to you too, Paula?
I think it was a beautiful card because even before you pulled it, it's a funny thing. You and I, you live in Maine. I live in Ontario, Canada. We have similar weather patterns. And so I really feel like we try to cram a whole lot of the outdoor, out of our outdoor activities, our outdoor life into the 10 weeks of the summer that we get. I always say here in Canada, I feel like we get 6 months of winter, and then the other three seasons are crammed into the other 6 months. So we really only, it feels like we get 2 months of spring, 2 months of summer, 2 months of fall. And, you know, someone, I remember someone saying to me years ago, something like, you only have so many summers, which is a really reductive way to look, but because if you start counting your lives in summers, it's not a lot of time. And so I sometimes put pressure on myself to get the most that I can out of the summer. And it was funny, when you were reading that card and what the card meant, I was flooded with memories of the couple of weeks that I would spend with my grandparents, and we would do nothing. There wasn't trips to places, museums and campgrounds and amusement parks. There wasn't, you know, nights at the driving range or over, you know, all these different activities that you can do in the summer, which we do with our son. All I did with my grandmother is I would get up in the morning and I'd go out with her in the garden and I'd help her weed the garden. And then I would sit, they had one of those old swing sets that had the rocking, you know, double seater. It wasn't a porch swing, it was actually at the end of the swing set. So it had the teeter-totter and the swings, and then, you know, a regular swings, and then at the end, this sort of four-seater swing. And there were always other people at my grandparents, other aunts that were staying over with their children. So the whole swing set would be full of kids rocking back and forth while my aunts and my mom would make breakfast. And my my grandparents had this, not a huge above-ground pool, just a tiny one, and it would be full of all of us during the day. We'd all eat dinner together. There was always music playing. Very rarely was there ever a television on. And then after dinner, when it was dark, we'd all go back in the pool just to cool down because my grandparents didn't have air conditioning. All the windows in the house were left open, and the breeze would blow through. There were windows on every side of my grandparents' house. So I always love that. When I go into a house that has that feel where there are windows on every side of the house letting in light and air, I always love that feeling. And the thing I just really remember most was the kind of, I want to say laziness of it, but almost the non-pressure of it. No expectations, just lounging, relaxing, chatting, eating, visiting, that kind of sort of country feel where early in the evening, you know, we would sit around my grandparents' island and my aunts and my grandparents would love to sing. A lot of the people in my family play instrument, but on those nights there was nobody playing instruments. It was just singing and you could hear the crickets outside. It was just lovely relaxation. And I think it's something that my son really has not experienced a lot of because I'm a working mom and I would have him in camps all summer. Because I had to work, I couldn't take care of him. But now that he's turning 11, it's actually sort of turned out that half of this year he's in camp, and half of the summer, I should say, and half of the summer he's not. So, you know, he will have some of that time to just lounge and relax, sleep in, make late play dates, stay up late, and just not have, you know, the pressures and anxieties of a schedule, which he often does because he's involved in so much. And that's what, I mean, I always am flabbergasted by the pull of the cards. I always feel like it's a message just for me. But I love that, to just have gratitude, you know, for the summer and just relax into it and not feel like I have to pull every minute out of it or plan every minute of it.
That's great, you know, especially for Dylan. I understand that. So he goes to summer camp a little bit and then he's with you, right? So he does both?
Well, I work, but I'm lucky enough to work from home. But I'm not able to do anything with him. Like, I have to work all day. Now, he can be in the house, and he can run up and down the road to his friend's house. But it's almost like every other week of the summer he has a camp. And then in between that, he has weeks off. And he had a few weeks off last summer, too. And when I say off, I mean before when he was smaller, I had him in camps for the whole summer. Whereas last week, if he wasn't, or last summer, if he wasn't in a camp, he would go spend a week at his cousin's, or a different set of cousins, or with a friend, or go up to a friend's cottage. So, you know, this year, he is going to be able to, you know, hang around the house or make plans. And I actually today, and a girlfriend of mine had wanted to know if he wanted to do a skating, like a skateboarding camp. And I asked him, and he's like, You know, imagine sort of being spoiled for choice. He kind of said, nah, because he's going to be in a volleyball, a soccer, a golf, and a hockey camp this summer. And in other summers, we have put him into, speaking about kids, I'm live trying to do a radio show, and my son has just gotten back from a birthday party, and he is tormenting me while I'm on the phone because he needs something. I don't know what it is, but I'm trying to wave him off so that I can concentrate on what I'm talking about, and he's making it very difficult for me. And that is the life of a mother and a working mother, right? So I'm actually doing a live radio show, and he's bothering me about something. So I'm shooing him to go see his dad, but, you know, that's what it's often like for moms, especially if you work at home. You know, you might want, you're dealing with a person who's sort of got a mind of their own and their own needs to fulfill, and the younger they are, the less likely they're going to be responsive to, you know, what your needs are in the moment. So we juggle it.
Right. Exactly. I remember, you know, that's a great example. It's like everybody's juggling something. My daughters, they might be older and, you know, out of my home, but they come back. They're coming back in the summer. Everybody's transitioning at any time, and it's working with what you have, your resources. You were saying, you know, you have other moms and you have a plan for something for your child to do. My daughter, who is 24, and she's a teacher, you know, for middle school or the younger ages, K through 5. So she's a teacher in, you know, in Maine in one of the grades, and she's finding a lot of her students are sort of getting a little bit anxious. And this kind of brought this conversation about tonight for me, because she's like, Mom, you know, a lot of my students, you know, they're saying, oh, you know, they're getting a little bit clingy or a little bit, I don't know, I'm not excited about summer, and da da da. And it to her, and in how I raised her in our life, we had a summer that, you know, because I had a job that I could work around as well from home, and we did things and, you know, different ways, you know. So we're in Maine, and we got to experience a lot of the laid back, low key type of, you know, beach and swim and all of that. But some kids all over the world, all over everywhere, they, you know, their structure is, you know, is what works for them. So when they leave like a really great teacher and a really great structure of a day, you know, they know what to do when they wake up. They know where they're going. They have somebody leading them in the day. And then they're leaving for the summer that's supposed to be so wonderful and great. Sometimes families aren't prepared, or they don't have the tools or know-how, or they don't know their local resources, or maybe they're not connected to other moms. Not with any fault of their own, but just because. So the kids, you know, these are kids and children and students, and they're also just feeling the, you know, bump around. It's sort of like bumper cars. I'm here, I'm there, but without structure, they're a little bit, you know, on their own. And the parents, you know, maybe the mom works or doesn't. Maybe the dad works or doesn't. You know what? It doesn't matter. It just what they're going to do day to day might be different and unstructured. So, you know, I just love that this is a conversation, because it's very real. And a lot of people, you know, human beings are really finding this time of year great and fun, and it is. And it's also a little bit stressful as they scramble. They may find themselves just behind the eight ball, scrambling a little bit for ideas or what to do or how to just, you know, segue into the summer where everybody's safe, everybody's, you know, occupied and has something to do. So,
well, you know what? One of the things that I love about the card that you pulled again, Susan, which is, you know, really just sort of relax. Don't worry about it. Have gratitude for where you are. You know, things are changing, the changing conditions of life, as you said. You know, meditate, be still, and it will all come. And this is such a small marker on the map of life's journey, I think was part of what was also in the cards. And you and I, you are a very lucky mom. I'm a very lucky mom because we have the means to be able to provide structure and, you know, activities for our children. Mm. You were a working mom, but you could work around your schedule and you could be home to take the girls to the beach, etc. I know that for me, when I was a kid, both my parents worked. My mom babysat kids and she also worked as a waitress. And so sometimes she was home, sometimes she wasn't home. Until I was 14 years old, most of what I did every summer was take care of my brothers and sisters. And that was something I really didn't like doing at the time. It wasn't the most enjoyable thing for me. I had friends who got to travel Canada, got to go to camps. I remember being so jealous of my friends that had all these activities. I tell this story actually of being in, this is really weird, Susan, this is like a small world story, but I was in grade 2, and at that point we were living in a town called Port McNicoll in Ontario across from a beach, and so I was allowed to go to the beach and hang out, and there was a summer camp there, and I was just so attracted to what they were doing in the summer camp. They were, you know, working with plaster of Paris and making sculptures and, you know, doing things on the beach. And, of course, my mother was home, actually, at that time, and my mother couldn't afford for me to be at that camp. And I remember sitting just beside the kids in the camp, and the instructor of that camp noticed what I was doing and shooed me away. And I wasn't intruding. I wasn't talking to anybody in any way. But the funny thing is that years later, he ended up dating one of my aunts. And I'll tell you, Susan, I wasn't very old when he started dating my aunt. And I don't even know if they really know this, but it really, I really didn't like him for a very long time because I really felt devalued by being shooed away from these paying kids. And as you know, I have a teaching degree. And for some of the years that I was working in schools, in some of the schools that I was in, the kids, a lot of times their parents were working parents and would work shift work, or both parents would work during the day. And a lot of the kids were made to stay in their homes or their apartments and weren't even allowed to be out playing during the day. So literally the summer became a torture for them because they were kept inside all day and basically just sitting inside watching TV. And I remember for me as a kid, September was liberation for me. It really felt like liberation from the summer. Outside of the 2 weeks that I would spend with my grandparents, where I didn't feel put upon, I didn't have all these chores to do, I didn't have six brothers and sisters to take care of, I just had this ease where I could sleep in, where I could read books, where I could swim in their pool. For me, the summers weren't this great time of recreation and fun. And that's why it's been so important to me for Dylan, growing up, that he have all these opportunities. But, you know, Susan, we talk about this all the time. You really sort of, you know, what you get a lot, you don't appreciate. And deprivation is really what causes us to have great appreciation in our life. So, I mean, maybe that's one of the reasons now when, you know, as a family, when we do things in the summer and I see the life that my child lives, I have great appreciation for the means to be able to provide that.
Right. That's a great point. That's very true. Thank you for sharing that because it's so, you know, I feel a big thing going on right now. Whoever's listening is like, and that's everybody. That's a collective audience because it's not, you know, I just find that it's not, everyone is raised differently. Everybody is born into a different family, but the adults, you know, and this is sort of like the adult conversation that we're having right now, is that we are sort of in charge of, you know, the experiences of our children, or, you know, and the ones behind us and we're raising up. And that's, you know, I love that this is the conversation of bringing in our experiences, but, you know, also like the value, and to empower our children to, you know, I don't know, just pass that on as knowledge without, you know, I don't know, I can't really think of what I'm trying to say here. Like, not like to show our children, but empower them to, hey, this is to appreciate. You use the word appreciation. That's really mm-hmm. what I'm trying to form here. Appreciation of this is what we're doing and this is why. Not as expectation. And I'm finding, I'm feeling a fine line between appreciation and expectation on kids today, in a way. And I don't know if that's because everything out there is, whoa, summertime, fun. But the reality is not that. And not that parents have to feel bad about it. No, just be realistic. This is all about, you know, be realistic, be feasible. If everything is done with love and, you know, thinking of the child and the family, if expectations are reasonable and applicable to the family, there won't be, you know, big, you know, letdown or hardship, you know, that type of thing. So it's just about, you know, using your local resources, your, you know, hooking up with your other moms and community. So all of those things that you just talked about that you're doing, right?
Again,
I find that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree with everything you're saying. Again, I think it's like intention, really, right? Like it's intention and framing, what your intention is and how you frame everything. And I just want to come back to a couple of things that you said. Like my husband's sister and husband maximize all the free resources in the city that we live in, which I think is awesome. And we have other friends who do that with their children. And what they want to do is expose their children to all the great things there are around the city. So there are a lot of free things you can do. But again, to do them, you need time, right? And if you're two working parents, sometimes to make ends meet, parents are working more than one job. And so if you're working more than 40 hours a week at two different jobs, trying to raise a family, oftentimes you're quite tired. And even though there might be all these free resources around the city that you can do if you live in a city, you just might not have the energy to be out all the time with your kids doing that. But what I think you can do, and again, you know, if you can't do it, cut yourself some slack. Everything that's happening is meant to be. Just like for me, I didn't particularly enjoy my summers growing up as a kid, but it gave me a great appreciation as an adult. So I think you can have conversations with your kid. If your family has access to the internet at home, or if you don't, you can find access to the internet at libraries. In most communities and small towns, they have libraries with internet access, and you can find all sorts of things for kids to do, activities for kids to do really, really cheaply. And what I always think is just kids need something to do. They need some structure, some order, something to do, so they're not just sitting around watching TV all day. And so if I was a working parent who was not home with my children in the summer, I would have, you know, one or two or three activities lined up for the day, and make it fun, not pressure, like not demanding, not a competition, but just something that I've laid out for them to do and want to see what they've done with it by the time that I would get home. So there'd be joy around me getting home and showing me these things, and I could then participate in what they did during the day. They could share that with me, you know? I would often talk to Dylan because he's at school for a number of hours and we're separated. So I would often just have conversations where I would say to him, you know, I think about what you're doing in the morning and what classes you're taking, and just begin those conversations so he would tell me. And then at recess, Dylan, I think about you and what games you're playing and what friends you're playing with so he would tell me. And then, you know, again, at lunch, I think about, you know, how you're enjoying the lunch that I've packed and wish that we could be having lunch together. You know what I mean, Susan? So we create that connection. He gets to share with me some of those things that he's doing during the day. And now, I don't do that every day. You know, maybe I've done that once a month or maybe not even as much. But it is an exercise that when I think to do it, I do with him to make that connection. And just one other thing I was going to say. Again, if you've been listening to the show, you know that I grew up in kind of an unhappy, well, at a very unhappy home. And I look back on it now and I think the home that my parents had is absolutely the kind of property I want to have again in my future. So they had an acre, we had farms, I can't really remember if we had our own chickens and things, but I remember slaughtering them on our property, actually. So somehow we had access to the meat that we would eat. And, we would go potato picking and strawberry picking and corn husking and fill up bags and freeze food. And we have a natural stream. They had a natural stream on that property, and we would cut wood for the winter and have a wood stove. When I talk to people about that and they don't know the backstory, it sounds like a fairy tale in a way. It sounds like the things that people are into today. You know how I'm in love with this whole tiny house nation kind of stuff. You know, where people want to be off the grid, have their own water source, their own land to grow food or animals if that's what they choose, to cut wood and to be self-sufficient on a home. That's what we had. And instead of feeling happy and confident in it, there was always this sort of huge fear around our home, largely to do with money, which my parents earned outside of the home. But if they'd only really realized what a treasure trove they were sitting on and presented it that way to us, we would have felt a lot safer, because today it's exactly what they had on their property that people want to get back to feel safer in today's world. And isn't that weird, Susan?
Yeah, what was that, Paul? What was the last thing you just said?
Isn't that weird? It's like the irony of everything that my parents had is exactly what people today want to feel safer in this world, to have access to water and a fuel source to heat your home and a place to grow food and to have food. That is what makes people feel safe today.
Yes. Absolutely. I was taking little notes here as you were speaking. You touched upon so many things. It's like, these are the values. These are the things I feel like, you know, we want to come back to. Everyone is sort of coming back to, you know, bring what you have, you know, teach what you have to your children. Bring that to their lives, right? So, you know, here you are. I'm just listening, and how you grew up on with your grandparents and all the things that you learned to appreciate. Really, is what it's all about. Learn to appreciate, and what you're passing on to Dylan in your family, and what I've, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, well, me too. So I have my own past life and experiences and how I grew up. I was the youngest of four, you know, four girls. And we did have a summer thing we did. My dad was a sailor. So he was a merchant marine. He was a marine engineer. So he was out a lot in the winter. We were home with my mom. You know, they were married forever. But in the summer, we were just sort of swept away into a summer thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not the experience of most of my friends. And
mm-hmm.
it was sort of this duality, because we went to camp. So when you're in Maine and you go to camp, you don't leave camp. You know, you're in the woods and you're at a lake. And we did not go to camp. We didn't go to anything structured. It was Little House on the Prairie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awesome. We picked blueberries. We baked cakes. It was us and our cousins. And it was beautiful. And it was wonderful. we always wanted to leave and go hang out in the city with our friends. They always wanted to come see us. So it doesn't, see, the thing is, it doesn't matter. It just matters what value is attached to it and what is passed on. Like,
I hear what you're saying.
It's almost like the grass is always greener in a way.
Yeah.
Although it is and it's not. It's really not. We all know that.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I hear you saying, like, plant. Like, so for instance, like, for things, what I would do if I had 10-year-old, you know, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, anything, a child in school now coming out of summer right now, I would go, we're making our garden. We are going to get our hands dirty. We're going to get our hands and feet in the soil. We're going to plant food. We're going to eat it and get a real appreciation for, you know, our local resources and our land. And if we didn't have land, if I didn't have a yard, I would go to the markets and I would concentrate on, you know, what we could do locally to have fun, be cool. I would find
something.
And
there's a real movement in like container gardening. So if you don't have a plot of land, but like you have a balcony or whatever, you know, people are using pallets to create benches or whatever and putting containers on them, because you can grow lettuce on the side of a wall. Like lettuce will grow out sideways from like a pallet container up the wall. And we certainly, in our backyard, we don't have much of a backyard. We live in a townhouse in the city. We have tomatoes and lettuce and onions and a whole bunch of different herbs in our backyard. So people are starting to, and if that's all you can do, that's all you can do. But I think it's a great idea to have your kids plant something that they need to tend to and take care of for the summer.
Exactly. And, you know, in kind of switching gears here, you know, for the families that are working and they're like, well, okay, so we're working, we go from school and we have a lovely daycare situation or something, you know, local for them, for the kids to transition to, which is great. But, you know, if you're still wondering, if you have that gut feeling of, is this, you know, the care provider for me? Do I want a in-home care provider? Do I want a daycare center where they go off and do explore different things, maybe take a bus and really creative? Or whatever sits right in your life, in your family, for your child. But your child, and I'm really feeling pulled back here to say, ask your child. Ask what they want. Sometimes they may want a little quiet in-home provider. Maybe. Maybe it's not the big, you know, presence of go, 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 go. Some kids really want to just, I would love to just sit in the library all day. I want a provider to take me, you know, I really want maybe 4 kids and not 20. So that's that conversation to have with your child is to just say, what do you want this summer? What do you want to do? What could we do different? What are your ideas? And to bring them into the conversation. You know, of course, money matters, right? So that is, yeah, I mean, that's definitely in the you know, what we're talking about. But
well, I would say,
I don't know,
you know,
it's like,
I didn't get to travel a lot as a kid. I don't ever remember going on a family vacation with my parents. Like I said, I would, my big journey every year was to go see my grandparents for 2 weeks, which I loved. But the one thing that I had a lot of in my house was books. And I'm not even sure where we got them from, because we certainly didn't buy them and we didn't go to the library to get them. I think we were just given boxes of books. So I don't even really know where. And in any spare time that I had, because we didn't really have TV, it was before satellite dishes and VCRs and having movies. We, you know, certainly didn't have a computer and nobody had an iPad. So there wasn't, you know, much going on in my parents' home in the evenings. And I would read a lot. And luckily for me, we had a lot of reading material in our house. And I really actually accredit that exposure and that time to my large vocabulary to you know, I literally would highlight words in books and looked them up in a dictionary that I kept beside my bed. And I really do believe, Susan, it's one of the reasons I found school so easy and was able to be quite successful at school, was just the massive amount of reading I did as a young kid.
Oh, that's awesome. That is beautiful. You know, I think a lot of students, and I think a lot of kids, children, you know, I have two daughters who are very different, but they're similar but very different. You know, I don't want to use words, but like studious or adventurous, whatever they are, it doesn't matter. But it's exposing and offering. It's asking your child, you know, and saying, help me, help the family have a great summer. What is it that you want? Some kids are like that. Some really want to just buckle down. They want to absorb, read, acquire, learn, keep going. They want to, just like you said, Paula, I just find that that's beautiful. That's why you write books, right? You are a children's author, and you're, that's why. I know that's why.
That was sort of an aha for me just there, Susan, where I'm like, oh, yeah, I see the connection.
Well, yes, it's because you are of words, you are of feeling, you are children, you are of teaching, you are of, right? You are. I know that about you. I feel it. I know it. I'm getting head to toe truth bumps. And some kids are of digging in the dirt. They're of animals. They're of water. They're of, I want to be alone. I really need to be alone. So if you can listen to your child and say, oh, I have a homebody here. I need maybe a babysitter instead of a big daycare or whatever, and just a one-on-one thing. And to find something, I don't know, that just, that works and that suits your family without the pressure of, you know, we have to do this and that every single day. You know, you can have a sprinkler and just a hose outside. I remember being, just having fun with a hose and water and just saying, it's a hot day, I'm in town, and let's just hose each other down. That used to be fun. You know, and I think for a lot of kids, water is still fun. That's why they like water balloons. You know, at birthday parties in the summer, I have a July daughter, and I remember water balloons were like a highlight many times. That's what we did. That was our fun. And I don't have a camp right now for my family. We don't go to a lake all the time. I would love to. And we have lakes around us. We go often. We're kind of near the ocean as well. But, you know, a lot of times when I was raising my daughters, we were in our driveway and we had water balloon parties or, you know, ice cream cakes. It was hot. And just simple, simple. Kids aren't really, you know, they're not the biggest, you know, ones judging everything. They're happy. They're just happy. They're happy with their friends, with their family, as long as like mom and dad are happy. And
as long as there's joy, right? As long as there's joy. You said something I just want to repeat, which is, I love this idea of asking the children, how do we help the family have a really great summer? Like, what would a really great summer look like to you? What sorts of activities would we be doing that you'd sort of look back and say that was a really great, really great summer? I love that summer. And you know what, Susan, you really sort of drove it home and touched on the fact that it doesn't have to be this great big experience at an amusement park. Like I said, we have a very small backyard and we get the most enjoyment out of this little tiny chimnea that we have. And we go for a walk down into the valley and we collect sticks and then we come back and we burn those sticks. And when Dylan was very small, had this brass bucket, which I called his burn bucket. He was very little. My mother had always said, if you don't let little boys play with matches in front of you, they'll play with matches somewhere secretive, which is how fires get started. And it was sort of something that stuck with me. And so with Dylan, who had a I call him and my husband firebugs. They cannot leave the fire alone. So he had his own little fire bucket, and we would let him burn little twigs and things and play with fire right there while we were sitting there in this little burn bucket. And years later, we were at Darien Lake in the States, which is an amusement park that has slides and water slides and camping and campfires. And Dylan, I don't remember how old he was. I want to say 8. And he was playing in the fire with a stick, poking the fire and moving logs around and rocks and things. And another one of the parents was beside herself. She reminded me sort of a chicken, just clucking, 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 clucking all around the fire. And eventually I asked Dylan to stop playing with the fire because it was so distressing to her. And I just said to him, you know, I know that you know how to handle yourself around fire, but it's very distressing to this mom. And so, you know, when she goes or when we're not with her, you can do that. But when she's around, because we wouldn't be able to make her feel comfortable enough with you playing with the fire. And so it was striking to me how our little tiny backyard was really the classroom for Dylan to learn how to manage fires. And then when he was out in the big world, he didn't have any fear of it. He had respect for it and knew how to manage it. And so many other kids, maybe with much bigger backyards, much better fire pits than we ever had, he just had a little tiny burn bucket, had no experience playing with a fire or being allowed to be involved with that fire at all. And if you think about it, Susan, probably managing fire is one of those things that evolutionary-wise anyway, humans have been doing forever. It's only in the last 100 years or so that that as a civilization here, we've quit cooking on open fires.
Oh, that's true. That's right. That's incredible.
So it's a really innate thing. Yeah, it's an innate, I think it's an innate thing that most people, I think it's one of the reasons we're so mesmerized by them as humans, but I think it's really an evolutionary thing, making and working and managing fire.
Right. It's true. It you know, fire, well, talking about fire, you know, light a candle, light a fireplace,
mm-hmm.
have a fire pit outside. Everything, sparklers, 4th of July, you know, here I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in America. So everything is about a spark, is about a fire. It really draws the soul. And we're, right, so here we are, you know, saying we're human beings, but we're really souls. Even, you know, insects, everything is drawn to fire. So that's a great observation.
It's weird. I bet you that there are people listening to this who think I'm nuts, right? Because many of those moms, Susan, it was just an astronomical idea to allow my 4-year-old to play with fire in a burn bucket. Just a crazy idea to them, right? Because because fire can be very dangerous. But for me, it was
it's as dangerous as the child or mother, right?
Right.
So.
Right. Very true. And for me, I felt that allowing him to have access to it, to respect it, and to learn, you know, what a fire does and what you need to do with a fire to contain it. That to me made more sense. And you were talking about water fights and balloon fights. I remember, again, probably 4 or 5 years ago, my husband and my child and I had a water balloon fight out in the front of our house. And it's one of those memorable moments. You know, how many days
mm-hmm.
in the summer can you forget? But it's definitely one of those memorable moments where, like, I laughed so hard I almost peed my pants kind of thing. You know, and so you can go all these fancy places and be on fancy rides and have these, extreme and wonderful and amazing experiences. And the thing that brings you the most joy to, you know, where you're laughing till your stomach almost splits is just a water fight in front of your house.
Right. Oh, I know. Oh, that's awesome. That's beautiful. You know, I love how this is bringing us to, like, simplistic things. Sometimes if we think back and go, what were some of my highlights of my summer? Human beings aren't that different. Our children are born into a different world, and they're kind of growing up in a very more, you know, public way. But, you know, fire is always simple. Water, we have fire, water, earth, right, and air. There
exactly.
are still 4 elements that really make us happy. We can always find, everyone is always trying to get more air, get outside, get near fire. We always want to just, I don't care if you're making s'mores, you can just, whatever it is, kids love simplicity. I've just found that. And I've just really learned this from my daughter as she is saying, Mom, even my students now, they're just overextended. They're a little bit overscheduled. They're very tired. And they're hanging on to her. I mean, not hanging physically, but just kind of saying, I just want to rest this summer. I just want to be. Let's be maybe a little bit unstructured is the thing to do for summer. Allow for more fun, laughter, freedom. Just kind of, hey, today it's raining. I want you to find a pillow and a book. That's what we're doing. We don't have to have a plan every single day. And not to feel like you're a failure mom or dad if there isn't a plan. You know, I remember some of my daughters might say, oh, yeah, I remember a lot of boring days, you know, kind of laughing. But I really feel those days cemented, you know, us better, or just went, you know what, maybe that was the day you learned something about yourself and not someone else, not the Kardashians, not the world. You know, maybe that was the day you spent with yourself. So if there's one day we can spend with ourselves, that's awesome. You know, because sometimes you need to be allowed the time for that. And that's okay too. No guilt, no pressure. Nobody is doing it
right.
No
agenda.
Nobody's doing it wrong. You know, we're not right. We're not wrong. It's whatever suits our family. And I just love that message.
Well,
I
want to come back to just something that was sort of being teased out there, and I don't know where it came from, but I think it's worth kind of circling back to repeat it. Mm-hmm. Is somehow we've stumbled, like you said, you packaged it up so brilliantly, we've just stumbled across the four elements again, air, water, fire, and earth. And we talked about, playing, immersing yourself in the water, playing, immersing yourself in the fire, playing, immersing yourself in earth through growing. And when you were talking, I was thinking about activities around air. And two things came to mind, of course, very easily, was kite flying, which we used to do with Dylan when he was small, all the time. If enough wind picked up, we ran over to this big open field that's close to our house and would fly kites. And even still, if I'm on the beach and I see someone flying a kite, I don't know what it is about it. For me, it's very meditated. I think it's like what people feel when they go fishing, you know? I don't fish. My family grew up fishing, but I don't. But because to me, this is weird again. It's full circle. It's like, to me, staring at a line that's now down in the water and just watching it bob, part of me is like, what could be more boring? But is it any different than flying a kite? Right? You're just staring at a line that's bobbing in the sky. So instead of bobbing in the water, it's bobbing in the sky. But to me, I love that activity. I find it, really beautiful. And the other thing that I always loved as a kid, always loved, you know those pinwheel things that you get at the fair? And you, the wind blows and they spin? And they'd be multicolored or whatever?
Yes.
I love those. And I still love them. And, technically they do nothing but spin.
Exactly. I've always loved those too, Paula. That's great that you brought that up. See, that's the thing. Those are the simple memories. It's only because it caused our imaginations to go, whoa, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that different? You know, and the thing is, what did it bring up in us? What did it stir? So,
to me, it was very meditative.
Awe.
To me, it's just meditative. It's a slowing. It's a slowing down, I guess. Yeah, it's just
true.
A relaxing
true.
Into it. Yeah. I think the messages that are kind of really being pulled out here are, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, just try to enjoy those moments, to relax, to have no pressure, no stress, no agenda, no expectation, just the intention of happiness and joy, really. Again, back to intention. And, earlier you had talked about appreciation versus expectation. And my phrasing around that, what I've always said is, I always say entitlement versus gratitude, So right. I don't know. What do we think we are entitled to versus what are we grateful for, right? And just maybe just
right.
even just being together, the fact that you have a family to contemplate having a summer with is enough gratitude right there.
Right. Exactly. And no judgment, no expectation. If there is an expectation, you know, there's an expectation to be, hey, you're going to be safe, happy, and healthy. You know, if families can come into, this is our expectation, we're going to be safe, happy, and healthy, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And to involve everybody into how can we make this happen. And, you know, what works for us as a family, not what works for the community or your best friend or so-and-so, is to really bring it back into the family. And
mm-hmm.
nothing is right or wrong. You know, I just really am feeling, going back to that, I don't know who's listening now or maybe in a million archives from now, I don't know, but nothing is right and nothing is wrong. It just is. And if we can just sort of involve, you know, ourselves and our families into the, you know, transitions of not just summer, but although this is about summer, it's almost like every season, every I don't know, part of life, almost every year, really, is to just tune it into the family unit, the nucleus of what works for us, and not, and raising our children up to go, this is what works for us, you know, and not to be, you know, not competition, but involved with what everyone else is doing. So that.
Yeah, I think it's beautiful because I would say I didn't grow up in a family where, you know, I didn't grow up in a family where it felt like the family thought about itself, where my parents, mm-hmm. as the head of the family, said, what do we want to do as a family? And this is what our family does. There just wasn't that kind of ideology. Like my parents, their thought process was survival. Their mm-hmm. framing was hardship. Even though, like I said, if I look back now on what they had a gold mine, but they didn't know it.
Right.
And so I love your idea about coming together as a family to discuss, you know, where we are, what we can do within our means that will bring us the most happiness as a family. What are we all thinking? What are we all feeling? What are we all wanting? And
exactly.
I love some of these.
And
go ahead, Susan.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, you know, for like what I might say to anyone listening is, well, where do I start? It's like, well, I'm always saying don't make a to-do list, make a to-be list, right? So
yeah.
I don't want to hear any, you know, for me, if I was going to talk to a client or somebody asking my opinion, would be, no, I'm not going to focus on what to do. I want to know what to be. And, you know, there's a quote I love. It's like, you know, if you have three or more priorities, you don't have any priorities. So to make a priority list, you've got three. And it's usually going to be, you know, my health, my family, and, you know, income or something. Whatever it is, it's like there are – so just focus on your priorities, very small list of – what you want to do, how you want to do it, how it's going to happen, and involve everybody. And it's amazing what we can come up with and how it really fine-tunes what really matters. So it's that open, honest conversation. I think so many kids are involved now. They're on social media. They're already talking about it. And, you know, they really want mom and dad to be in their world and in their conversation and vice versa, because the conversation is suddenly global with all of the social media. So it's really just tuning into those sorts of things.
I agree. So there are times coming up. So I just want to finish with our quote that we do every week. This quote that from Oprah that I love, which is, stories shared around the world connect people and change lives. So So thank you very much, Susan, for sharing all of your stories,
your stories
of childhood with me and everyone here today.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
So, I just want to make sure. So to find us on SusanTMullen.com, and to find Paula, ThinkCareShare.com. We are on Facebook at Susan Mullen Intuitive Living and Think Care Share. So we want to say goodbye and have a wonderful week and summer, and to bring your children into the conversation.
And we'll see you here next week.
We really hope you walk on sunshine.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.